about, I don't know, 2018 or something, several years ago. I did a teaching on all the prophets spoke of him, and we looked at that a long time ago, and I wanted to expand on that today. Because you study these topics over the years and you see more. So I thought I would share that. So today's topic, I've entitled it, "What is Everyone Talking About?" In Matthew chapter 2. That's more accurate. Matthew chapter 2. We'll start there. There's a lot of verses related to this topic, but I just picked out some that were fun to look at. It'd be nice just to read some verses today. But Matthew chapter 2, verse 23, we read, "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth," talking about Jesus Christ, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." And this is not written in the Old Testament anywhere. Here, because it says here, it was spoken by the prophets. It was never written, but it came down through time, and it was, so they talked about the fact that Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, would be called a Nazarene. Look at Matthew 12. It's going to read a lot of verses today, but I won't say much. I promise. We'll just read. Matthew 12, verse 18. "Behold my servant." And then verse 17 says, this is that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." Here again, this is from Isaiah. In Matthew 13, where are we here? Oh, sorry, Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Why did I say 13? Matthew chapter 4, verse 13. That's more like it. Verse 12. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast, he departed to Galilee." In verse 13. That's Blue Galilee, by the way. He departed into. "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Again, a prophecy. Zebulun and Naphtalim, Naphtali, they were the two main tribes that had their inheritance in the area where Jesus Christ first ministered, most of his ministry was. So that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And here it was coming to pass. Galilee, the whole area, if you look at where the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun are, it's right there. In Mark 14. Let's go to Mark. Reasonably, just going to go in order, left to right here. Matthew, Mark. So they were all speaking about him. In Mark 14. In verse 27 of Mark 14. "And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." That was from Zechariah. Zechariah was talking about him. He was talking about the fact that the shepherd was going to be smitten, and sheep are going to scatter. The apostles went all over the place, ran away. That was prophesied in Luke chapter 4. So all these wonderful men, references to Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Here was Isaiah talking about him. And Jesus, it's interesting enough, Jesus Christ himself brought that up and said, look, he it was talking about me. In Luke 18, some fun to read a lot of these verses. Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took them unto him, the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. So all the things that are written by the prophets shall be accomplished. For he shall hear, for he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. There you go. That was what was written by the prophets. You know, when we read about those case records where, you know, Paul ministered to them and taught them about the Christ and all these things, these are the things they could find in the prophets, that they could show them that Jesus Christ would do this. It was all recorded in the prophets. The fact that he would bless the Gentiles, that was in the prophets. That wasn't the mystery. It was going to be a blessing. They knew that. And they could teach that. Look at where are we? Luke 18. Let's go to Luke 24. On the wonderful road to Emmaus with those two men. And we were in, where was it? I think in Ireland. We went to a art exhibit by a guy named Caravaggio. Caravaggio? Yeah. And he had painted a wonderful painting about Jesus Christ with these two men talking about this kind of stuff. I kind of remember that. It's a very, very vivid memory of that picture. I don't know if it happened that way. In my mind, it was always they were, you know, out in the wilderness somewhere, and they had done this. But he had a picture of them being at an inn, sitting at a table eating bread together, which are probably more likely. They didn't just stop by and have a picnic or something. I don't know. Anyway, neither here nor there. Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, those two men, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Because they were saying, all these things have happened. And he said, wait a minute, you don't know what all the prophets had said? You guys don't believe what all the prophets said? Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory and beginning at Moses? We've added now here the books of Moses. You know, originally I said all the prophets. Well, here we added the book of Moses. All the book, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. So we have the books of Moses, we have the prophets, and we have all the scriptures. Everybody was talking about him, right? The things concerning himself. And later on, he gets together with the apostles in verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms as well. You know, you see how it's kind of everybody was talking about Jesus Christ. And in the Psalms concerning me, then he opened their eyes, opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And so on. You see, all these things were already written in the Old Testament, and so all the things that he was fulfilling, that wasn't a mystery. Those are prophesied, and they're written down, and you can find these things in John chapter 1, and in verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. So he was written about in the books of Moses, and he was also written about in the prophets. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. It's cool. In Luke, John chapter 5. I said this was much more expanded from what I had looked at before, because it's talked about a lot of places. In John 5, he was talking to some of the religionists of his time, in chapter 5, verse 39. 38, and yet ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures. He doesn't specifically even say where. He just says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they, the scriptures, are they which testify of me. So the scriptures testify of him. The Psalms, the prophets, the books of Moses, the scriptures testify of him. And you will not come unto me and have eternal life, he told them. Verse 45, the same chapter. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses wrote of me. It's in there. It's in the books of Moses. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? In John chapter 7, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me. Where am I? In John chapter 7. I'm in the wrong chapter. I thought that would make sense. John 7. Great teaching on the bread from heaven there, but not what we're looking at. Verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? See, they knew the scriptures talked about him. They knew Micah. They knew that Micah had said he would come out of Bethlehem, because the prophets talked about Jesus Christ. In John 15. John chapter 15, verse 25. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. That's written in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms. They hated me without a cause. That was talking about Jesus Christ. In John chapter 19, and verse 24 of chapter 19, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, talking about his coat, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, by whom he loved, he saith unto the woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. From that hour the disciple took her home. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Then in verse 36, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Verse 37, and again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. You see, just on and on and on. All these things written about Jesus Christ in the scriptures. I think God might have had a reason for talking about him a lot in the Word of God. Look at, we'll go to Acts. Acts chapter 2. So none of that had I looked at before. So over the years, you know, you start seeing some of the things, you put them together, and see how God's Word teaches you even more and more about the important things that he would have us to know. Right? In Acts 2:22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Now when he says that, that's not talking about Jesus Christ. we'll see what's talking. He says, I foresaw the Lord. He's talking about God there. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord God always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou, God, wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So when he's talking about, what he's talking about Jesus Christ was that he would be raised from the dead. That's what David was talking about. Thou hast made me full known, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. David spoke about the resurrection. He's seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, not a mystery, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus that God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of exalted, and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God, maybe this is why he was talking about him so much, that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. God made him Lord and Christ. And he was talking about a lot about what he was going to do. And that is one of the key things that he did, that he chose to make him. That's why so many people think he's God. That's not the case. God made him Lord and Christ. He talked a lot about it and what he was going to do, and this is one of the key things he was going to do, and he did it. Not a mystery. In Acts chapter 3, verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John after they healed him there, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? I love those words. They're so comforting to all of us who want to see deliverance. It's not by our own holiness or power. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. That's why they think he's God. God glorified him, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And here he is teaching them. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did this, as did also your rulers. But those things which God had before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets. See that? God had shown this to all the prophets. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. God had told the prophets this. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Some things have got to happen first before this takes place, until all things are restored, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, since the beginning of the age. All his prophets have talked about this. Verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. That's not fair. That's not very kind. We didn't write the book, did we? Verse 24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Three times in here. All of them. They all spoke about Jesus Christ. He might just be a very significant figure in history. All of them spoke about Jesus Christ. Verse 25, you are the children of the prophets of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and all thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You know, I was talking to Jane about this. He mentioned Abraham. And, you know, God talked to Abraham about Jesus Christ. Nothing was written at the time. There were no books to read. He talked to Adam about him. He talked to Noah about him. He talked to Abraham. Abraham, he says Abraham rejoiced to see, he said Jesus Christ rejoiced and he saw it and was glad. All that stuff was something just God talked to him about. There was nothing written down. You see, God was talking about his son before the Bible was even written. He was talking to these men. And then he had it written down. Every prophet wrote it down, talked about him. So I find very, very significant. In Acts chapter 4, verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the people, the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So David prophesied that the kings would stand up and persecute Jesus Christ and have him killed. David talked about that in Acts chapter 7, in his wonderful defense, Stephen. Acts chapter 7, in the latter part, the earlier part talks about Moses. Chapter 7, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One. These prophets showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now been now the betrayers and murderers. Makes you want to go through all the Old Testament, doesn't it? Find those records about Jesus Christ. It's a great study. Find all those things that talk about Jesus Christ that Paul would have used, that Stephen, these men would have used to teach them about Jesus Christ. We have the Gospels. We have the New Testament. They didn't. They told them all these things in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. We'll skip that one. You remember that record where he talks to the eunuch? Philip talks to the eunuch, and he's reading the book of Isaiah, and he's talking about how he was taken as a lamb before the shearers, and he was slaughtered, and what's he talking about? Oh, he's talking about Jesus. And so from that scripture, Philip preaches Christ to the eunuch, right? Because it was written in Isaiah, so he could preach Christ to the eunuch. Look at Acts chapter 10, household of Cornelius, just goes on and on. I love it. There's so much wonderful. Acts 10, verse 38. At the household of Cornelius, Peter says, verse 3, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged in a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Acts 13, Paul in Antioch of Pisidia. Acts 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. See, they didn't know the prophets were talking about this. They didn't even realize they were actually fulfilling the prophecies by condemning him. The prophets all spoke of him. Verse 28, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers. See, these promises were made. And God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm. There it is. Thou shalt heart my son, this day have I begotten thee. Verse 39, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Look at Acts 26. A few more verses. We could read a lot more. But I find it a real blessing, very interesting that God would speak so much about this. Acts 26. Paul before King Agrippa. Acts 26, verse 22. In his defense, he says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He goes, all I've been teaching is what the prophets and Moses said was going to happen. You know, when the apostles were witnessing in Acts, if you read from Acts chapter 1 to about Acts 13, that covers a period of about 15 to 16 years. Here they are preaching all that time without any New Testament. So what were they using? All that was written in the prophets. That's what they had. That's what they understood. That's all they knew. They didn't have what Paul wrote because he didn't start writing until his first itinerary, which is Acts 13. And the first book he wrote later in Thessalonians was later in that. So that wasn't available to all the people in the last 15, 16 years. They preached from the prophets. They preached from the Old Testament because it was written there. They had access to it in the scrolls. So here Paul says, I've only been teaching what the prophets say, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Prophets say this, and should show light unto the people and Gentiles. We read that. The prophets said that. They would show light to the Gentiles. He would be raised from the dead. As he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're mad. You're crazy. Much learning makes you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe. The prophets talked about this. That's why you would have known about it. In Acts 28, near the end of Paul's life, in Rome, Acts 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him unto his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Must have been quite a lot written. If you go from morning to evening, and out of the book of Moses and the prophets, talking about Jesus Christ. See, he talked a lot about him. God spoke a lot about him. In Romans chapter 1, we'll just read. Sorry, let's go to Romans 15, quickly. We might as well read that verse. Romans 15, verse 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. That's from Psalms. said in Psalms that he would take everybody's reproach upon himself. And back to Romans chapter 5, same chapter, verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, he that shall reign shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust." There we have quotations from 2 Samuel, Deuteronomy, Psalms, and Isaiah, all talking about Jesus Christ. And back to Romans chapter 1. The opening of Romans. You know, verse 1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets." This gospel he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this gospel was promised before. In fact, it was preached to Abraham as well. By his concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. See, it was promised. You know, if you go through Romans, you know, Mom and I were talking about this the other day, but the exhortation, well, God talks about him so much, you know, and we should recognize the importance of that, because the entire foundation of everything that we believe, everything that we understand, is rooted in Jesus Christ. That's why when in Romans, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed to talk about this, everybody," because the gospel talks about the righteousness of God and the wrath of God. And, you know, those people who kind of go this way are heading in one direction called the wrath, and those that are going this way are going the other direction called eternal life. That's Romans. And he says, by the way, you know, he tells the guys who were the Gentiles, you know, "You guys are out there, and then Judeans, you're out there too. Neither one of you are getting it right. Because you're not just a Jew because you're circumcised. You got to believe God. Even some of the guys who aren't Gentiles, they do better than you guys do. And it didn't matter," he said, "because all of you are out in left field. That's why he sent Jesus, to give you a righteousness without the law." And then after he does all this wonderful teaching about Jesus Christ and Adam and Abraham, he's okay, now you know some of this basic stuff. Sit down, logically think through everything Jesus Christ has done for you. It is vital. It is key. It is core. It's totally the center of everything that we understand. That's why he talked about him so much. So we need to understand, you know, logizomai, reason, think it through. Do the math, like my brother always says. Think it through, you know. Dead to sin, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our job as Christians. And we'll close in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Everybody. Who's everybody talking about? Jesus Christ. And guess what? They're still talking about him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times," not yet happened yet, something coming in the future, "he," God, "might gather together in one," Christ, "all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." So the prophets, the modern day prophets here, Paul, they're still talking about him. And guess what? They're still talking about what he's going to do in the future. There's more coming. See, not only did the Old Testament talk, not only did God talk about him before he even had anything written down, he had everybody he had things write down talk about him, all the prophets, Psalms, you know, Law of Moses, all the prophets, the Scriptures, all written about him. Some just talked about him, wasn't even written down. They spoke about him. And then he had Paul speak a lot about him, and Peter, Jude, and all these men talk a lot about him, and there's a lot more going to happen that's related to him in the future. So maybe the lesson to us is that maybe we should keep talking about him.